Welcome to Joy in Learning, a podcast from the Harley School in Rochester, New York. We are an independent school for nursery through grade 12, where there's always lots of interesting learning going on for us to share with you. For this episode, I spoke with Harley alum Caitlin Richard ahead of her Common Series event about resource equity in education. Enjoy. I am here with Caitlin Richard, Harley class of 2013. Caitlin, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me. Good morning.
So before we get to the topic of your talk, I just want to get to a little bit of your background. Obviously, you're Harley class of 2013. How did you, just take us on a brief trip of how you got from Harley to giving a talk here about resource equity in education. What did that journey look like for you?
Yeah, so at Harley, I was very involved in the Horizons program. So I had an interest in education. And when I got to college, I did an internship that was doing a study on the effectiveness of summer learning programs. And Horizons was one of those programs. So I actually remember I got to go back to Harley when I was a freshman in college and do a site visit to evaluate the program to see how it was helping students. And I also got to see some of the students I had worked with for multiple summers when I was at the Horizons program. So I remember having this moment of, wow, this was something I'm really passionate about is education. And now I'm learning I can do it in this way that's actually at scale and thinking about how are these various programs impacting students. So that motivated me then. In college, I went to Brown University studying economics, and with the lens of public policy and education policy of how are we allocating resources to these types of programs and systems that are helping support students reach outcomes, particularly students from disadvantaged backgrounds. And you know, I knew I had had this really incredible experience at Harley of a high quality education. And I've been on this mission since then to figure out how we do that at scale. So how can we do that for more kids, and especially kids who are furthest from those opportunities? So after graduating from Brown, I worked at a company called Education Resource Strategies. They work with large urban high poverty districts across the country on strategic resource use. So it was kind of the perfect segue from what I was really interested in to what I wanted to work on. And I got partnered with Tulsa Public Schools in Oklahoma as one of my first projects. And there I was consulting the school district on a massive deficit they had and how could they make resource decisions in that context that were centering students and supporting them, especially in a context where there's a lot of disadvantaged students, a lot of students living in poverty. And so I got really passionate about that type of implementation work. And I had also done some work on this concept of resource equity, which will come up in the talk, which is thinking it's not just the dollars, it's the other types of access students have to things like teachers and curriculum that really matter. I had experienced that at Harley, and so I was able to bring that as a lens as I partnered with Tulsa Public Schools. And now I'm officially working for Tulsa Public Schools and have been for about the past 3 years. And right now I'm the director of budget. So I manage our $700 million operating budget with this question of, you know, obviously there's operational aspects of that. But then how do we use those dollars in a way that is most going to support our students who need the most support? And so that's the question I've been trying to answer. And it really does stem directly back to the experience I had at Harley and all the resources I had access to at that time.
That actually directly answers my next question, which is great. Just to back up a little bit, you sort of gave a definition in what you just said, but I want to just clarify and give a shorter sort of specific definition of what, when you talk about resource equity in education, specifically what does that mean for those who aren't familiar with education or educational budgets and how we allocate things?
Yes, so resource equity is the concept that obviously money matters and money is a resource, but what we spend that money on matters almost even more. And so resource equity includes things like teacher quality and diversity, curriculum, instructional time and attention, access to effective school leaders, diverse kind of students and staff. And so it's all the other factors that really matter for student learning. So when I was at Education Resource Strategies, we did a lot of research to say, what are all the factors that impact student outcomes and are really important for students furthest from opportunity, and came up with a set of different, what we call dimensions of resource equity. And it's a way of expanding the conversation about equity in education. And so dollars matter. There's a lot that can be said about the discrepancies in funding for schools, but how schools and districts use those dollars is almost as, if not more, important.
Great. So you come from a background of an independent school, Harley's independent school. How do independent schools play a role in public schools' resource equity and the community as a whole, where those private schools exist?
Yeah, I think there's a couple concrete examples there of a very positive influence that private schools can play. So I think Horizons is actually a great example of that. So Horizons is a direct way that Harley is offering the resources of its teachers, its students, its campus, right? Facilities matter too, its curriculum, to a broader set of students in the community. And I would argue it's reciprocal too. So those students from Harley who volunteer or participate, like me, are learning so much about students from another background. So if you think of that, it's access to diversity, right? And understanding different people, which to me actually fueled now the career path I'm on. So I think there's ways that, for example, broadening who has access to the resources like that of a campus is really important. I also think it's, and there's also similarly like offering, you know, scholarships and opportunities for students to attend a school like Harley alongside a really inclusive climate and culture. So I think sometimes that piece gets missed of we have to make a community in which folks actually want to be a part of it and feel welcome there and can succeed when they get there. And then I think there's the part of a school like Harley is educating students who are probably going to be leaders in society one day. And so educating students to have a mindset of equity and, you know, courses like rights and responsibilities and things like that, so that when they go out into the world and have these positions of probable privilege in society, they're able to do that in a way that's furthering this broader agenda of social justice. And kind of coupled with that, encouraging folks to go into work in public service. And so I think that there's a lot of roles a private school can play, both in like concrete access to its resources right now and growing the next generation of leaders who are able to do that in their own futures and at scale.
So it's a tricky question, but how have you seen, or what differences have you seen in access from community to community nationwide in your sort of process of getting from where you started to where you are now?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I do think it gets actually at some of those dimensions of resource equity. And so one of the things that has been most interesting to me is I think a huge difference is in expectations. And I know we don't often think of that as a resource, but access to high expectations is I've recognized over time a major piece of students' opportunity. And so I've noticed that there's differential expectations in different communities across our country, and depending on who the students are based on race and poverty status of what they can achieve. And there's a lot of research that shows that's actually the first piece to student success is having adults who believe that they can achieve at a really high level. And wherever I've been personally, so I, you know, went to Brown and then I was living in Boston and now I'm living in Tulsa. Everyone I have met in these various communities have the ability to thrive in various communities. And so the first step is our belief that that is possible. And then I think surrounding that, another big difference that I have noticed is just teacher quality and preparation. So that's something that is in research shown to be probably the most decisive factor in student success is their teacher level of experience. And so I think back to my time at Harley, and obviously at the time as a student, I wasn't thinking about like, how many years has this teacher been doing this and how much does that impact my success? But I've seen time and time again that when you have communities, Tulsa is a great example where teachers aren't as valued, they're paid less. We have a lot of teacher turnover. And so you can have teachers who are there for a couple years And move on. And what that does to the ability for students to form relationships with trusted adults and to have someone who's gotten really good. Teaching is incredibly hard and it takes a lot of time to get really good at it. And a lot of students we have never had a teacher who has been doing it for more than a couple of years. And so I would say that those kind of, and it goes along with the high expectations as well, right? Like a teacher who has those expectations for a student and then has the skill set to help them reach it, regardless of their background, I have seen as one of the biggest differences and the most pivotal factors in education.
Okay. So now that gets to my next question. You've touched on it a couple times that resources are about more than just dollars. Mm-hmm. And you just highlighted a perfect example of what you mean when you talk about teachers as an educational resource. Yes. What are some other examples of resources that you're talking about allocating that aren't specifically money? I mean, obviously money's behind all of it, but what are the sort of, more the things that people wouldn't normally think of when they're thinking about allocating resources toward education?
Yes, so I think that is one example of what I would say people, because that's often the thing that education systems spend most of their money on is people. It's a people business. I think time is the other big one. And so a lot of the work that we've done in Tulsa and across the country is actually on schedules. And so how are you setting up time within the day to, one, both allow for teachers to have the time to collaborate with each other and prepare, and then for students, especially students who need additional time and attention. And so, again, I think back to Harley, and I had access, during a teacher's free period, I would go and ask some questions about the homework. And again, at the time, I didn't think about that as a resource, but access to one-on-one support from a teacher is a huge resource. And again, another thing in research that has been shown to be one of the most critical things to student success. So how we think about time in the school day and how it's set up so that folks are getting access to the core content they need and the additional support based on their unique needs is a really complicated business when you think of that at scale and what every student needs access to. So I would say it's the money, and then there's the people, and then the time are the important components.
Caitlin, this was great. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to talk to me. And I'm looking forward to seeing you later on this month at your Common Series event.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And I'm looking forward to it as well.
Thanks for joining us today on Joy in Learning, the Harley Schools podcast. We look forward to sharing interesting stories, discussing educational topics, and exploring ideas with you on our next episode. See you again soon.